It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, and if you're just tuning in, what took you so long? Oh, my. It's 11:18 already, and it's a great day. It's a little warmer today. The sun has been shining, and oh, that's so nice. As long as the sun shines, I think we can take the colder weather to a point. Except for our heating bill. Oh, my. Did you have to crank up your furnace here in the past couple of days? Oh, my goodness. I could just see all that gas. Oh, yeah, it's been a long time since people used coal entirely to, and in fact, our house was originally heated by coal. And we've got one whole part of the basement, I'm sure, that used to hold the coal. We had radiators. But at some point, long before we bought that house, all that was removed and a gas-fired thing put in. That wore out. We had another put in, and it's about wore out, too. But anyhow. Okay, let's get around here to some more Ohio questions. Now, the hard-to-imagine thing is there nobody knows any new or any history of Ohio. And that's because we don't teach it, I guess, in schools anymore. Did we ever? The only remaining B-70 aircraft is on display at what museum? Well, that's a U.S. Air Force museum. Now, that would be an easy one. Or what town did John Campbell build the first charcoal furnace north of the Ohio River to process iron ore in 1826? Well, that town would have been, naturally, Ironton. Oh, my. What's the approximate annual production of natural gas in Ohio? 99 billion cubic feet, but I bet it's more than that now. And Mosquito Creek Wildlife Area covers 8,000 acres. Write that down. In 1828, Dr. John M. Harris established the first of what kind of medical school in the world at Bainbridge? The answer? Dental school. And how many of you have exercised a choice of what you want to deaden the pain? Now, the gas putting you out and you wake up and it's all done, that's not bad. But when, I tell you what I never liked was when the dentist shoved that needle in your jaw and then worked it around the roots. I can feel it already. Oh, and that's why I think... laughing gas, which is what's the other name for laughing gas? It's causing a lot of trouble right now among young people. They're vaping it or whatever. This laughing gas, which can inhale enough of it and you'll drop dead. Simple as that. Okay, the same way with. What you used to pump up balloons with, I don't think you can buy that anymore in quantities unless you're a business. But people used to pump up all these balloons with what was the helium, and you inhale enough of that and your voice starts turning high because it constricts your throat. It also constricts your brain. And I once got a call from the DeLille company when we were passing out balloons filled with gas and said, I wouldn't do that if I were you, because those kids could inhale that gas and get enough of it and they'll die. Well, I found, and I found out that was true, not that anyone died, but I noticed we were pumping up, we used to take a tank of helium with us on our remotes and pump up balloons and give away. And I found that a lot of kids were taking the balloons behind where we were operating and filling them up over and over and inhaling that, you know, and we were lucky no one passed away, because it absorbs oxygen out of your brain. And that's not a very good idea. Okay, now let me go back to my book on Ohio here and see if I can stump you some more. Oh, here's one. Sherwood Anderson is best remembered for what work that described life in a small Ohio community? Now, there's a good one. We'll stick with that one. Sherwood Anderson, and you passed the sign many times that said Sherwood Anderson. What was the title of his book? Now, Sherwood Anderson was a native of Clyde, Ohio. He's remembered for writing a book about small life, or life in a small Ohio community. What's his name, or what's the community, I should say? What community is described, and he wrote that book in 1919, Sherwood Anderson. Now, there's a big sign in a town in Ohio that has that name. And it's just coincidence that that town, it has the same name as the book he wrote, that Sherwood Anderson wrote about life in a small community. What's the name of that book? And you might be able to get that, I would think. Because if you've been in Amish country, you've gone past or through that town. Now, what would it be? All right. The name of the town that Sherwood Anderson wrote about in his book of 1919. Now, Sherwood, he must have known my dad. My dad was from Clyde, Ohio, too. All right. And in Clyde, Ohio, one of the famous Civil War generals was from there, and they had a group of his cannonballs by his statue. And the kids used to roll them down the street. Oh, kids never did anything like that. But they did. Yes, they did. They would. And finally, they must have had to cement them in place, because the kids kept rolling them down the street. And the cannonball is no lightweight thing. Okay. Let's move on here. But I like this one, Sherwood Anderson. You can look that up, too. You can Google that real easy. He wrote about a town that exists in, is it north of Holmes County? You know, and once you go through this town, it's on Route 62, if you get out your Ohio road map, and the name of the town is on the map. In Holmes County. What's the name of that famous town where all the good eating is? Berlin. Okay, Berlin. This town is north of Berlin on Route 62. Now, does that give you a hint? What's the name of the town? 7403-39944. And I'm sure a lot of you have passed, or gone through this town. And there's a big sign there. This is the town that Sherwood Anderson described in his book. All right, so what was it? Okay, and speaking of, let's see, James Albert Wales, who served as a cartoonist for Puck Magazine and helped found Judge Magazine, was born in what Ohio community? I know you can't get that one. That's Clyde, Ohio. Now here, Clyde, Ohio, it's relationship to Marion. Let me tell you what it is. When we were bicycling across Ohio one year, we stopped in Clyde to eat. And we were in a restaurant across from a building that said Heritage Hall. It was a museum up there. I thought, Heritage Hall? This is right at the time that the Historical Society had bought Heritage Hall, the old post office. And I was president at the time, and I said, let's name the old post office Heritage Hall. And he thought, well, yeah, okay. They approved it. The board approved it. And that's why it's called Heritage Hall today, because of us going across Ohio on a bicycle and stopping in Clyde, Ohio, and me looking out the window at a building that said Heritage Hall. That's not written in this book. That's a little bit of Ohio history, though. A little bit of Marion history. Okay, let's see. What else? Oh, my goodness. Clyde was saying, what's the famous industry in Clyde? There's a good question. What famous industry is located in Clyde, Ohio? And I'm trying to think of what they make there in appliances. But Clyde, Ohio, can you tell me? 740-383-9944. And if you like, I'll give you a couple of tickets to the Columbus Zoo. What famous manufacturer is located in Clyde, Ohio? That shouldn't be too hard. What famous manufacturer that's known around the world has a location in Clyde, Ohio? Okay. Oh, here we go. I bet this person. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Washing machines.
Oh, what now?
Clyde, Ohio. Washing machines for Whirlpool.
Okay, Whirlpool. Yes, that's it.
Yep.
Yes.
Hey. I'm not eligible, Charlie. Oh. Just wanted to play along.
Okay. Hey, what are you doing for Christmas?
Kid,
anything
did
special?
You know that children used to get oranges in their stockings at Christmas time?
So why did they get oranges?
They were said to represent gold.
Wow, that's right up my alley. Now, let me try this with my golden voice. This is the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, reminding you not to forget oranges for your children's stockings at Christmas. And if you throw in some grapes, you can make a nice fruit salad.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, getting back to the questions. What town in Ohio was the main title of the author from Clyde, Ohio? He wrote a book about a town in Ohio north of, it would be north of Berlin on Route 62. The name of the town that he wrote about is Life in a Small Town. Now, it was a fiction story, but it was written by, the author was in Clyde, Ohio, and he made that book quite famous, too. And you'll see a sign at the edge of that town saying, you know, given its name, and this is the town that Sherwood Anderson wrote about. Now, can you tell me the name of that town? Now, that shouldn't be too hard. In fact, if you have an Ohio road map, it wouldn't be hard at all. Okay, and now let's look at some other things. Oh, where is the deepest salt mine in the United States? It's in Ohio. But where is it in Ohio? The deepest salt mine. 2,000 feet in depth. But where is it? It's along Lake Erie, naturally. But what town along Lake Erie would you find a salt mine that's 2,000 feet deep? Now imagine going down 2,000 feet. Just think of the air that's not there. You would have to pump a lot of air in there, wouldn't you, to make it livable in order to mine the salt? Oh my goodness. 2,000 feet underground. How would you feel working 2,000 feet underground? Would you be afraid? I guess not, if you wanted to work there. I wonder if you're paid more working 2,000 feet underground than you would on the surface. But I need to know the name of the town where that depth of 2,000 feet is along Lake Erie. Okay, and let me see, what else? Oh, yes, a question about yeast. Now, here's what I've been wondering, folks. Where does yeast come from? It's pretty basic. You know, yeast is used in cooking and, wine producing and this and that. What is yeast? How or where does it come from? If something called for yeast, I know you can buy it in a package in the store, but where is it grown? Or where? Scott, do you know where yeast comes from?
Yeast?
Do you know where yeast comes from?
Bread.
Bread? Oh, my. But I'm trying to find, where does yeast come from? Now, Google that one, would you? Where does yeast come from? Now, I've wondered this for a long time. Because now you put yeast in dough to make bread, to make pizza. Pizza dough has some yeast in it. But where does that yeast come from? Now, we know you can buy it in packages, but where is it produced? How is it grown, or who has yeast? Yeah, interesting question, eh? Where does yeast come from? One of the most valuable, what is called yeast as far as an ingredient? Without yeast, bread won't rise, and pizza dough won't rise, and a lot of things won't rise. But where does yeast come from? Yeah, Google that and let me know. And I'll give you a prize. 7403399944. Where on earth is yeast from? All right, and can you tell me who introduced compressed yeast in Cincinnati, Ohio in 1868? Now, you can give me just the last name of the person. His first name was Charles. What was his last name? Who introduced compressed fresh yeast in Cincinnati? Now, if you let cider go and form, you know what they call the mother of that slimy bit of stuff in cider, if you let it harden, is that yeast? That doesn't, no, I wouldn't think. But, you know, that's puzzled me for a long time. I need to know. I haven't looked it up on Google myself. So tell me, where does yeast come from? Now, I bet you never saw that, did you? You just buy a little package or packet of yeast, and I guess that when yeast dies, it produces gas, and the gas is what rises the bread. Is that right? Well, I need an expert here. We need somebody to call and let me know the story of yeast. It'd be interesting for you to hear, too, I'm sure. Okay. Now, the deepest salt mine in the United States, since you don't know, is near Fairport Harbor. Fairport Harbor in northern Ohio along Lake Erie. It's 2,000 feet deep, and that's a long way down. Can you imagine working down 2,000 feet underground? All right. And the man who invented compressed fresh yeast in Cincinnati in 1868 was, give me his last name. You should know his last name. Okay. Turning the page here. Oh, my. Let me see if I can. Let's see. I got all kinds of questions here, and I didn't look at these before I went on the air. And so I'm looking over now. How many gallons of brine from salt springs did early salt makers require to produce 1 pound of salt? Now, salt seems to be a big thing in Ohio and elsewhere in the planet, apparently, without salt, and yet we're told not to eat so much salt. I guess you have to use moderation. But how many gallons of brine, now brine is salt mixed with water, did the early salt makers, how much of this did they require to make a pound of salt? The answer is 10 to 15 gallons. 10 to 15 gallons of salt brine left to harden would make 1 pound of salt. Now, I've learned from the cooking shows on television that a good way to cook a lot of things in meat-wise is to brine it. You put it in a sealable plastic bag with salt water and let it stand for a few hours. And I tell you, that produces the nicest, tenderest meat. My wife, Jeannie, makes pork chops or fixes pork chops that way, and never ever have, since we started that, never have we had a tough pork chop. You might try it sometime to use brine. Put your chops in there, put them in the refrigerator if you want to for several hours, and let that brine soak into the meat, and then of course take it out and rinse it off and cook it. Okay, now, let's see. We're looking elsewhere. What variety of quail is found in Ohio? What variety of quail is found in Ohio? I didn't know there was more than one, but there is. In fact, it used to be the theme song, included in the theme song of what detergent that your parents or your mother used on wash day. She had a box of this, and there was an advertising jingle that went with it concerning Bob White. And it went, Bob, da 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 da, happy little wash day song. Remember that? Bob White, happy little wash day song. Okay. Now what was I asking concerning that? Oh, what types of Bob White are there in Ohio? There's two different kinds, apparently. Got that? There's a, well, I don't know if there are any birders listening that can tell me. If not, oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, Ernie.
I think that town north of Berlin is probably Winesburg.
Yes, you're right. Winesburg.
Yeah. And after blizzard of 1978, you don't find many quail at all anymore.
That's right. You're right. Now, the answer to that question was
Bob White. I thought it was.
And the northern quail, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Rinso song?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you. Charlie. Okay. There you see. All right. And wish I could whistle, but I can't. Happy Little Wash Day song. Bob White. Oh, my. You know, a lot of these clever jingles carry on through the years. At least if the product doesn't, you can certainly remember the jingle. And so many of them. But one that we remember so well was, "Oh, Ma, here comes the Omar man." Or the Avon lady in the doorbell, "Avon calling." Oh, boy. Time flies, doesn't it? Okay, now, let me see. I'm trying to find something that... here. What galleon inventor and manufacturer improved the telephone receiver and switchboard? Anybody listening over in Galleon that remembers that? We do come into Galleon, not steady, you know, but off and on. Same way with Bucyrus. We cover Bucyrus maybe a little better than Galleon. But what galleon inventor and manufacturer improved the telephone receiver and switchboard? Now, there are some people around here that worked for this man. Now, what was it? Yeah, that's good. What galleon inventor and manufacturer improved the telephone receiver and switchboard? What was his name? Just the last name is good enough. Okay. What Cleveland facility is operated under the National Aeronautics and Space Administration? Do you remember that? If you lived up north, you'd know. It's the Lewis Research Center. Okay. Approximately, now this is good. It might not be current. Approximately how many eggs are produced in Ohio each year? You have any idea at all? How many eggs are produced in Ohio each year? Now, it might be more.
This
than
is the worst Christmas party ever.
Why? We have the trees, the eggnog, the fruit cake, and presents under the tree.
But you forgot to invite the other guests. It's just you and me.
I knew I forgot something, but that just means more eggnog for me.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
Two, one. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. We got about 15 minutes left in the program. I'd sure like to get another winner. Now, some of you might have relatives that had worked for this company in Galleon, and I knew a lot of people that worked there. A lot of the people lived in Bucyrus worked there, as well as Galleon people. But what was the name of the company? The Galleon inventor and manufacturer improved the telephone receiver and switchboard. I developed this big company in Galleon. And what was the name of the company or the name of the man? 7403-39944. And that shouldn't be too hard. Now, how many eggs are produced in Ohio each year? Well, I'm sure there's more than 2 billion now. Now we come to another point that is arguable. What is better, the brown-shelled eggs or the white-shelled eggs? Is there a difference? According to the experts, there is absolutely no difference. But why are so many cooks on television using brown shelled eggs? And people that have eggs for sale, you might occasionally see their sign, brown eggs for sale. Now, are they better? And if they are better than you think, in what way would they be better? Now, there's a good question. The experts say there's no difference. But cooks will kind of lean toward the brown eggs. But what? Why? Any cooks out there listening? Oh, boy. Let's see. What Cleveland facility is operated under the National Aeronautics and Space Administration? That's NASA. And, you know, we have part of NASA here in Marion, a TRED from the Space Crawler Transporter. It's out at the Huber Museum. All right, and anything, but that company in Galleon, they were big at one time and lasted for years, but they're no longer in existence. And what was the name of that company? All right, the unique penguin encounter is part of what Cleveland area attraction? Well, you ought to know that. The unique penguin encounter is part of what Cleveland area attraction? Can you answer that? Well, you don't live near Cleveland. Some of you might drive up there. It's SeaWorld is the answer. SeaWorld. Okay. And here's something rather close. What community is home to the Inniswood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve? What community in Ohio is home to the Inniswood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve? And it's not that far away. You could get there within an hour. You could almost get there in a half an hour. What's the name of the town? The town has a direction in its name. They give you a hint. The town has a direction in its name. Now, it's the home of the Inniswood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve. Okay. I have to sit down and start dreaming up questions of my own. You're not doing very good at answering these, are you? I'm going to have to send all of you back to school. Oh, my. In 1893, what Geneva native made the first U.S. automobile sold abroad? I think I asked that before. That was REO, Ransom Eli Olds. Remember REO Speedwagon? Yeah. It was a four-wheeled steam car that was sold in India by Ransom Eli Olds, REO. Yeah, there was a group by that name, REO. Okay, let me see what else I have here. Let me turn a page or two. We've got, thank goodness, we got one answer there about Winesburg, Ohio. Yes, was the title of the book written by the man from Clyde, Ohio. Okay, let me see. What young Ohio writer penned The Life of Abraham Lincoln, which resulted in the president naming him U.S. Consul to Venice? I know you won't get that one. That was William Dean Howells, H-O-W-E-L-L-S. William Dean Howells. What Dayton painter was well known during the 1840s and 50s for his panoramic works based on religious themes? He was a Dayton painter, and a long time ago, John Inscoe Williams. And, here's a caller. Hey, this might be an answer. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Curly.
Yeah.
Is that company in Galleon, North Electric?
Yes, North Electric.
Okay. Was the guy's name North, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Right.
I'd heard of North Electric, but I didn't realize that his name was North.
Yeah, it was North, and boy, that was employed a lot of people.
Oh, it did. I had a couple people work for me when I worked at the shovel that had come from North Electric.
Yeah.
Electrical engineers and.
Yeah, and I think the advanced science probably took it out of business.
Yeah, I think the electronics end of it, you know.
That's for sure,
because
yes.
Because they was big in mechanical relays and, things like that.
Switchboards that
right.
you plug
and
in, yeah.
Big power supplies.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, different world today.
It is. Yep, changing all the time.
Yeah, I hope we can keep up with it.
Did you ever remember what your question about your Christmas present was yet? You said you thought of another item.
Oh, what was it?
The only thing I was thinking of was ice skates.
Well, yeah, ice skates. Yeah,
I got probably more use out of my ice skates that I got for Christmas than any other.
Me. Well, I grew up in Bucyrus. And they gave me, my parents gave me, double runner ice skates.
Oh, yeah. Remember those.
And I ice skated on where there's neighborhood homes now in Bucyrus on the southwest side. I ice skated on those, there were swampy areas.
Yeah. It didn't take much to freeze it.
No, it didn't.
Right.
And then occasionally you'd run across a stick.
Oh, yeah. You'd end up on the ice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Double runners,
Well, I lived about a mile north of Twin Bridges, down there in the Sauda.
Yes.
And we spent a lot of time down there. It had a great place where we could build a big bonfire. And,
oh, boy, yeah.
You know, where it used to be, where they had a road at one time. Somebody put this, it was just a dirt road down, into the, you could actually go below the bridge, drive below the bridge on one side. And we used to go down, build bonfires, take an old tire down.
Well, and I skated so much on the Sandusky River, and I kept wondering about these, every now and then you hear these big loud cracks.
Big old cracks, yeah.
And then I finally, years later, found that, the water comes and goes.
Water level changes.
That's right, and that caused the bang.
I can remember skating on the river when we had must have been the 59 flood, and the river froze, when it was high.
Yeah.
And and the water dropped down, and there was these big old slanted, ice slabs on each side.
I remember that. I was an engineer at the radio station, and I went out to help cover the damage, and I stepped on the ice and went right on down.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Watch.
Yeah.
I got a lot of enjoyment out of ice skating.
Now, my parents once told me, I don't know what the temperature was. They said, now don't go down the river today. You might fall in. Well, I did. I fell in. And it was horrible. But I managed to went down to my shoulders and was able to pull myself up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember we had an outside thermometer at a window, and I was always hoping to look out that window and see it below 32 degrees.
Yes, yes.
then I was hoping for freezing weather.
That's one thing we don't hear anymore. Authorities telling us how thick the ice is.
No, in the last few years, used to be all the time they would report, like on even McKinley Park Lake or something like that.
Right.
The ice is, 3 inches or 4 inches or whatever.
I guess kids apparently.
I don't think they skate much.
Well, I'm wondering too. Bucyrus had a skating rink the other day.
Oh yeah, that
on the square, and apparently it was an artificial ice.
Yeah.
And they
some plastic of some sort.
Yeah, they rented that. And, I tell you, it looked like out of a Christmas card.
I'll be darned.
I watched it on the webcam
that
focuses on the square.
Yeah. Wow.
Really neat,
I've never seen one of those.
Yeah. That's the first I ever heard that they had anything like that.
Hmm.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah, boy, the days of ice skating. How many of you ice skated on a river? Of course, we have no river in Marion. But how many of you went to, maybe you lived in Prospect or Green Camp or you know, somewhere else along the line and could ice skate on the Scioto River? In fact, you could get, if you went to, if it was cold enough, you could start at Green Camp and ice skate right down to Prospect. But you had to be careful. You didn't want to get near that dam. Of course, the dam is gone now and dropped the water level quite a bit. Yep, good old days. There is such a thing as the good old days. We might have not realized it at the time. And, of course, 50 years from now, I'm the good old days. Oh, my. Yep, that's the way it goes. Let me see if there's anything else here I can ask before I put my book away. Let me see. Yeah, I see a name here of somebody. Well, remember I told you about the dairy people, the Mantis. Their daughter was Mary Longo, that passed, or not passed away, but is recovering from a terrible illness she had. And everybody has wished her so much. And apparently she is improving somewhat. Mary Longo. Yeah. One of the Mantis. Okay. And let me see what else is happening here. Ohio painter Godfrey Frankenstein created a portrait of what U.S. president? Ohio painter Godfrey Frankenstein. The answer is John Quincy Adams. Boy, it's 11:59 already. Oh, my goodness. Where's time gone today? Well, thanks for the questions that were answered. Now you begin to realize how little all of us know about Ohio. Whoop, one question, one call. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Charlie, I remember when you used to interview Mary Manti at the fair.
Oh, you know? Yes, yeah.
She seemed like she was always always on there, and
yeah.
I think she was going to be a public person.
Yeah, she ended up that way as Mary Longo after she married, 4-H, yeah.
She did well on the air.
Sure did, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, thanks.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for the holiday season.
And I'm coming to Marion, Ohio, and I'm going to sing my